This episode kicks off the 10th season of Insights Now, which we've titled the Top 10 Questions on Investing Today. During this season, we will chat with experts from across JP Morgan, and I'll occasionally step into the hot seat myself to discuss the 10 most frequently asked questions that we receive from institutional investors and financial advisors. So whether you're interested in the global economy, the impacts of artificial intelligence, or how to invest in an election year, tune in as we address the top 10 questions on investing today. Most of this season is devoted to questions investors ask us on where to invest. However, given an increased focus on building tax-efficient, transparent, and flexible portfolios, we're also often asked, how should I invest? While traditional investment vehicles have made it difficult to reach all of these objectives simultaneously, the emergence of actively managed ETFs are helping to reshape the investment landscape as we know it. While this technology is still relatively new, active ETFs are quickly becoming a critical piece of the investor toolkit. For today's episode, I'm being joined by my colleague John Meyer, Chief ETF Strategist at JP Morgan Asset Management, to help learn more about the history of active ETFs and how they can be used to build stronger portfolios. Before we begin, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can now watch along on YouTube by tuning into our JP Morgan Asset Management channel, linked to the show notes. Now let's get started. John, welcome to Insights Now.
Thanks, David, for having me.
So we've seen huge growth in the ETF business in recent years. Can you tell me a little bit about how much growth and why that's happened?
Sure. There's been a tremendous amount of growth. Right now, assets are about $9 trillion in the U.S. Compare that to mutual funds. With money market funds, it's about $27 trillion. If you exclude that, exclude the $6 trillion of money markets, it's approximately $22.
Wow.
So the ETFs have been used for building blocks to build portfolios, to equitize cash, to arbitrage. There's just numerous reasons why ETFs are used in the market, and the growth has been exponential.
And it now is a huge part of the market. I mean, I remember when you could talk about huge growth, but now it's actually a huge part of the overall combined mutual fund and ETF market.
It's a huge part of the market, and it's a huge part of the trading portion of the market. So if you actually look at the notional value of trading, it's about 28% of the overall market on any given day.
Wow.
That spikes during periods of volatility, like COVID, it spiked to 47%. But it's a regular course of the market right now, whether it be for arbitraging, for absorbing liquidity during periods of stress, for price transparency.
Yeah.
And that's pretty powerful.
So it's huge in the landscape. So if we go back to the olden days, obviously this all sprung out of an infrastructure which is basically about mutual funds.
Sure.
Can you talk a little bit about what some of the drawbacks were in sort of traditional mutual funds?
Well, mutual funds literally started 100 years ago, maybe 100 years and 2 months ago. So, and they were actually considered innovative products at the time. Pooling assets together, pooling individual securities together. There were closed-end funds at the time, but there were not mutual funds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it took another 60-plus years before the first ETF came to market. And the drawback for a mutual fund versus an ETF really is, first of all, you can trade an ETF all throughout the day, right?
Mm-hmm.
The second is the capital gains tax efficiency component. So if you think about it, if you bought an ETF in September,
mm-hmm.
and the market went up 15%, and the fund paid a capital gain in October, you didn't get to realize any of that 15%, but you're paying a capital gain on what you've received because it went X in October. With an ETF, because of the in-kind transfer redemption process, ETFs are removed from the underlying securities and the transaction occurs outside of the ETF structure or the trust. So there is no capital gain that occurs inside of the portfolio. There's also some trading that can occur inside the portfolio to manage gains. So you combine trading throughout the day, mm-hmm. and minimizing of capital gains distribution, and you get a winning solution.
That's very interesting. I mean, it certainly has always been a drawback when you see those, particularly after a volatile year. You see, well, it's great news that my portfolio is up, but now my mutual funds declared all these capital gains, which I'm responsible for. So I think that's one thing. And then the second thing is when you have a very volatile day, just being able to get in and out of an ETF, it feels better than in a mutual fund where basically you get one price every day and that's it.
Yeah. Historically, you could buy it at the end of the day, and here you can buy it throughout the day. And A great feature, which I sort of mentioned earlier, is that particularly with fixed income, the stock price oftentimes becomes the price discovery mechanism. Mm-hmm. So if you look at periods of volatility, like in COVID, when the Fed bought fixed income securities, the stock price actually was the underlying pricing mechanism because the underlying bonds don't trade as often.
That's true. So, yeah, so it's not just adding liquidity, but it's actually telling you what all these bonds are worth at a time that nobody's trading them.
Exactly.
That's so it does sound like an evolved financial instrument and a lot of advantages over traditional mutual funds. But, of course, now the industry's moved one step further towards active ETFs. Can you talk a little bit about what's different with the active ETFs?
Sure. Historically, SPY, the first ETF that came out in 1993, mm-hmm. Replicated the S&P 500.
Okay.
Exactly. Most of the ETFs that followed were some sort of index replication. They could be optimized, but for the most part, they followed some sort of index or created index to follow. Over time, and particularly since 2019, although it certainly happened before, actively managed, transparent, meaning we know what's in the underlying portfolio on a daily basis, mm-hmm. became very popular. So let me start with what happened in 2019. Up to 2019, if a company wanted to come out with a new type of ETF, they had to apply for exemptive relief from the SEC. And there was a patchwork of exemptive reliefs. And really, it came down to resources. If you could resource it, you could hire the lawyer.
If you do enough lobbying of the SEC, you get what you want.
You got it. So obviously, some of the bigger names had a lot of the companies had a lot of the most of the exemptive relief. In 2019, the SEC, hey, let's level the playing field mm-hmm. here. Let's make all the rules equal for the small player, for the big player, somebody who could afford an attorney, someone who could not. So since 2019, there are 1,700 ETFs that have come to market. Mm-hmm. Prior to 2019, 1,700 ETFs came to market, excluding some of the ones that have closed, so roughly. And more than half of those ETFs that have come since 2019 have been actively managed ETFs. So that was a pivotal change in the market. Mm-hmm. So whether it be a formerly mutual fund companies moving into the ETF space or just companies that were looking to provide actively managed ETFs, there are less barriers to entry.
And of course, that, you know, particularly if you look at an overall index, there are plenty of times like today where you see huge concentration in the index. You say, do I really want to have that much of my money in these few companies? One of the things an active ETF can do is say, okay, look, we're going to concentrate in this part of the index or that part of the index, or try to apply some logical rules to what we're holding the index and not just mimic the overall madness of crowds here.
Yeah, and I think that's probably one of the reasons you have seen a proliferation of assets going into actively managed ETFs. We know the market's concentrated in a few names, and that's driving performance. And actively managed ETFs certainly have some of those names as well. But it's an individual or a team that actually makes a decision on the security level. Mm-hmm. Is this security fairly valued? What's going to happen over the next 1, 2, or 3 years? What are dynamics in the market that may impact certain aspects versus purely something that's based on an index?
And I think that's so important, not so much for return enhancement, but for risk mitigation. Because I always worry about when you have a big break in the market and you've got a very concentrated market or some things which are obviously overvalued, you really wanted some brains at this beforehand to try and figure out, well, you really don't want to hold that, or you should hold more of this. So I think a lot of the advantages of active management really show up in the tough times rather than on, you know, when you're in a steady bull market.
I mean, that's a fair statement, and it's illustrated by the fact that flows are going into that space. Mm-hmm. So people are looking for active managers, a mind, instead of just a algorithm.
So we talked about where we've been and where we are. What makes you excited about, you know, innovations and where we're going in the ETF industry?
Well, if you look historically, every index has been replicated. Every sub-index has been replicated. Most commodities have been... They figure out how to put a commodity into an ETF, whether it be futures or just physical gold or mm-hmm. silver or whatnot. I think the active space really is the interesting place. There's so much you could do. There's so much talent to leverage at many different firms, new firms, mm-hmm. new ideas, new strategies. The transparency of the structure is really important. The tax efficiency of the structure is super important as well. And that entices investors. And I think it's evident from 2019 on, if you've seen the 1,700 ETFs have come out, about 1,000 have been actively managed mm-hmm. ETFs. Not all have been successful. It's not easy to be successful in the ETF market. You need solid performance. You need distribution. You need to be noticed.
Well, you know, I've always said that to be a good investor, you need two things. You need courage and you need brains. But you don't need them in the same quantities at the same time. You know, when you're in a deep bear market, it's really just about courage because you know the economy is going to come back and the market's going to come back. But when markets are higher, as they are today, it's really about brains. And I think that's why active management and active ETFs really, you know, I think are gaining ground and are so important as an investment instrument today. Well, listen, John, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's great.
On our next episode, I'll sit down with Gabriela Santos, Chief Market Strategist for the Americas, for a discussion on why investors should add international stocks to a portfolio. To all our viewers and listeners, thank you for tuning in today and speak with you soon.
This content is intended for information only based on assumptions and current market conditions and are subject to change. No warranty of accuracy is given. This content does not contain sufficient information to support investment decisions. It is not to be construed as research, legal, regulatory, tax, accounting, or investment advice. Investments involve risks. Investors should seek professional advice or make an independent evaluation before investing. The value of investments and the income from them may fluctuate, including loss of capital. Past performance and yield are not indicative of current or future results. Forecasts and estimates may or may not come to pass. J.P. Morgan Asset Management is the asset management business of J.P. Morgan Chase & Company and its affiliates worldwide.